Call the meeting to order and we're going to just move right into the student presentations, which I believe is our last day today for students. And then tomorrow we're going to have Mr. Hutchinson in front of us right away at the beginning, and then folks that have been users of the different workforce development programs. So we'll start right away with a quorum. Katie Sensett from St. Olaf College and Maya Ridley. Why don't you just come on down and you're not oh, there again. From Albert Lee in Minneapolis. Welcome to the committee, ladies, and you can just, you know, start off by giving your names for the case and then go ahead right into your testimony. It's nice to have you here.
I should be talking on the mic, I remember. Very scary, usually. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Katie Senta.
And I'm Demaya Ridley.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Katie Senseth, and I'm a junior nursing major at St. Olaf College. I'm part of TRIO SSS and represent college students of lower-income families. I live in the rural town of Eveley, Minnesota, where I was also born and raised. Coming from a divorced family, my three brothers and I have always had great responsibilities, and choosing a college was no different. As a first-generation college student, I was an amateur when it came to deciding on what college I wanted to attend. Even though I was greatly supported and encouraged by my parents during my search for colleges, it was up for me to find the best fit. I then discovered St. Olaf, and everything about it seemed perfect, except for the tuition. Despite the cost, I applied anyways and got in. Shortly after my acceptance letter, I received my financial aid award, which was a major deciding factor in choosing to enroll at St. Olaf. The moment I looked at my award, I jumped up, cried, and called the Department of Financial Aid to double-check that the numbers were right, in which they were. Thanks to my financial aid package and grants, such as the Minnesota State Grant, Federal Pell Grant, and Federal SEOG, I was able to afford an education at St. Olaf College. From that moment, I knew I could obtain my goal of achieving a liberal arts education and become a nurse. The Minnesota State Grant programs are needed to help students from lower-income families pay for educational costs at eligible Minnesota colleges or universities. The grant provides an opportunity of assistance for someone to receive an education who may not have been able to otherwise. In addition, the state grant program is very effective. It has made a private liberal arts education more affordable for myself and has helped make many other low-income students' dreams of a college education come true wherever they choose to enroll. Along with financial assistance from federal grants and loans, I also have a job on campus in order to pay for my tuition. I've had an on-campus job since my freshman year of college. I have one of the largest work awards, which allows me to pay for some of my tuition. I've worked as a residence hall receptionist and as a peer advisor for the Center for Experiential Learning. In the past, I have had my earnings directly deducted from my tuition. However, due to the rising cost of textbooks and other expenses, I've decided to receive a paycheck and use the money earned to pay for my books. The cost of textbooks is becoming more and more of an issue. For example, last semester the cost of my nursing books were over $700, and for me that is more than or at least equal to 2 weeks' earnings of my summer job. Our bookstore prices are high, and when you sell back your books, you don't get nearly as much back. I bought used books from the bookstore, and this has helped me reduce costs, but overall, it didn't save me much money. And even though I have received much financial assistance, including SSS supplemental grants, statistically to reduce loan burden, I will still be graduating with a debt of over $20,000. I'm very grateful for all of my assistance. However, I'm concerned that the Minnesota State Grant Program has not kept pace with the rising cost of college tuition. I worry that future low-income students like myself will not be able to afford a college education at all or will leave college with an even more burdensome debt. With all that said, the Minnesota State Grant Program has and continues to play a vital role in my college career. I would not be able to afford an education from St. Olaf, or for any school for that matter, if it wasn't for the Minnesota State Grant Program and federal assistance such as the Pell Grant and federal SEOG. If my grant and other financial assistance were stripped from me, the dream of a college education would be nearly impossible. Knowing that I have portions of my education expenses paid for gives me relief and allows me to focus on doing well in school and not on how I plan to pay for school. I believe that the federal assistance is very important in order to give students of lower incomes an opportunity to obtain a college education. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Are there any questions of Katie at all? Okay, then, Demaya.
Hi. Good afternoon. Once again, my name is Demaya Ridley. Today I've come to share with you my educational journey and how Minnesota State Grant have played a major role in my achievements. Born and raised on the north side of Minneapolis in a single-parent household, money was definitely a major concern for my family. I attended North Community High School, where I graduated at the top of my class. In the college decision process, many students often allow class size, resources, and majors offered at a school to influence their final decision. Although such aspects are important, I allowed the financial package to influence my final decision amongst all other aspects. Today I attend St. Olaf College, where I am pursuing a bachelor's degree in English. Currently, I am a recipient of Minnesota State Grant, which I am truly grateful to have. I also received the federal Pell Grant and the federal SEOG Grant. Such grants have made my educational journey possible. The Minnesota State Grant Program is needed to alleviate the financial burden for many low-income students. With the help of grants, students will be able to spend more time on their studies rather than their work study. Students enroll into college to further their education, not their debt. The state grant program is highly effective because it has allowed low-income students like myself to pursue an education at a prestigious private college without a rain cloud of debt drifting over my head. In fact, one advantage of the Minnesota State Grant Program is that it allows a low-income student to attend whichever college is the best selection for them. Unfortunately, today the Minnesota State Grant has not kept up with current college costs. In fact, the value of the average Minnesota State Grant Award has fallen 14% in just the last 5 years. Although grants have helped pay a great deal of my tuition, I have to work off the rest through work study and an off-campus job. It is difficult to be a student full-time with an on-campus job and work off-campus part-time. I have very little time for activity involvement and barely a social life. I devote a great majority of my time to schoolwork due to a vision impairment I have called nystagmus. Nystagmus is a vision impairment which causes my eyes to move in an involuntary motion. This forces me to spend more hours than the average individual to read and complete an assignment. Moreover, when I am not studying or doing homework, I am working. Therefore, I often have to place my friends and family on the back burner due to my busy schedule. At times, this is so stressful, I feel I cannot handle it any longer. However, just knowing that I will be okay financially keeps me motivated. Despite the grant assistance I received, the rise of textbooks remains a tremendous burden for me. Today, textbooks, new or used, alone cost me an estimated $350 to $400 a semester. During the semester, I constantly contemplate how I plan to divide my earnings to fund such school-related fees, as well as housing fees. In summary, the Minnesota State Grant has played a major role throughout my college education. Today, the Minnesota State Grant Program has allowed me, as well as many other low-income students, to pursue their education at whichever school they thought most suitable. I am truly grateful for this program and the assistance I have received. Unfortunately, the Minnesota State Grant has not kept up with such rising costs, college tuition costs. Therefore, when grants do not keep up with these rising costs, the financial burden will soon become a bigger issue, which will distract low-income students from the common goal of furthering their education. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? Go ahead, President Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you both of you to come here today and share your stories. I just, Demaya, is that how you say your name? You had said something, and I didn't quite catch it. It was earlier on in your testimony, and it was something about the rain cloud of debt or something. It was just a beautifully phrased wording, and I just wondered if you could repeat that, or do you know where that was?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought for an English,
she's an English major.
I know, she's an English major, and she just had this beautiful phrasing. It was just very nice and done.
Yeah. All right. The Safe Grant program is highly effective because it has allowed low-income students like myself to pursue an education at a prestigious private college without a rain cloud of debt drifting over my head.
Thank you.
Yes.
The mayor, what is your rain cloud of debt, if you can tell us? Or are you pretty much debt-free because of your grant situation on that?
I am very fortunate for these. For my first year, I'm a second-year student right now. My first year, I was awarded a couple scholarships plus these grants I have. And this year, I still have some of those renewable scholarships plus the grants I still have. But tuition also rise by another $3,000. So now I work an off-campus job because I don't want to be in debt. I'm born into debt. I want to get out. So just I know, like, in the next 2 years, I'm pretty much going to have to take out a loan. But right now, I'm very fortunate I don't have to.
And how many hours do you work at both your work study and your off-campus job?
8 hours a week for my work study. And it varies from week with my off-campus job, because sometimes I work every Saturday, but I try to work every other Saturday to give me a balance between school and work. So,
yeah. Finally, one last question from me is, how did you find out about that SEO grant? Was there counseling in high school, or did somebody at the St. Olaf campus make you aware of it? And
I've been a part of TRIO program for over 6 years. I'm in a program called Educational Talent Search, and they inform a lot of low-income students or first-generation students about any type of college financial aid, assistance, anything that we're not usually exposed to. So, like, knowing I had grants that I qualified for, that helped me, that exposed me to, like, grants such as the SEOG grant and others.
Thank you. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to both of the testifiers, to Katie and to Demaya, could you please tell me what the amount was of your grant that you received over the past couple of years? Has it stayed relatively flat, or has it increased? Has it decreased? Can you give me some idea? I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Either one of you, go ahead.
My SEOG grant has stayed pretty standard, about $1,500 for the past 3 years at St. Olaf.
Well,
I actually don't have the documents with me, but it hasn't changed in a dramatic way in this past year.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Demaya, you testified that you've been a part of TRIO for about 6 years.
Yes.
Katie, did you have, you're from either Albert Lea or Owatonna?
Albert Lea
High School. They don't have a TRIO program there, is that correct?
That is correct.
So you just became more familiar with TRIO as you became a St. Olaf student, is
yep.
that right? Okay, thank you.
Okay, no further questions then. Thank you both for your testimony. Appreciate having you.
Thank you.
Next we have Elizabeth Henry from the Duluth Business University, who is from the Range. From Hibbing, Representative Services District. Welcome to the committee, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time today. And again, my name is Elizabeth Henry. Hello, my name is Elizabeth Henry. I'm a full-time student in my final quarter of the Medical Billing and Coding Program at Duluth Business University. I would like to give you some information about myself and the financial aid that I've received while attending college. I'm 29 years old, married, and a mother of 3 children. 5, 7, and 9. My husband works for a locally owned radiator company in Hibbing, Minnesota, and I currently work part-time as a teacher's aide for private school also located in Hibbing. In addition to my family, work, and school, I'm also a Girl Scout leader for my daughter's troop. As you can see, I have many responsibilities in my life. Around the same time last year, I was employed as a full-time reservation sales agent for Northwest Airlines. It was an interesting job, however, I was getting restless. I knew that this was not the career path I wanted to take, so I decided I needed to make a change. As we all know, the medical field keeps growing and growing. Certain aspects of this particular field have always been of interest to me. I will tell you that I could never be a nurse. Needles just scare me. But I did find that the field of medical coding and billing, as well as medical secretary, caught my eye. One day, my friend decided that she was going to drive to Duluth to get some information from Duluth Business University regarding the massage therapy program. I told her I would ride along. I would like to get some information as well. After speaking to one of the admission representatives, we drove back to Hibbing. The whole drive home, I was thinking that the medical billing and coding program she described sounded really intriguing. The only problem I was having was financially. My husband had recently had an accident, so we were already struggling. Plus, I knew that I would not be able to work full-time and go to school full-time, so my income would drop as well. After I spoke to my husband regarding the program, I called the online learning advisor and the financial aid advisor to see what kind of assistance I could get. Once I found out that my expenses would be covered either by grants or loans, I was ecstatic. I had waited a long time to go to college, and now my opportunity to do so was available. I chose Duluth Business University for a few reasons. First, it is a career college. Second, it had the program that I was interested in. And third, I would be able to do my courses online. Having the financial assistance to choose the college of my choice was my biggest obstacle. With three young children and a limited budget, online classes were my best, if not my only option. With the financial assistance I received, I have been able to concentrate fully on my studies and have not had to worry about whether I would be able to afford the courses that are required to graduate. I am so appreciative of the assistance that I have received. I feel that every time you help a student, you help the state of Minnesota as well. For you to continue the funding needed for students such as myself, you show each one of us the importance of education in our state. Those of us who do receive financial assistance are extremely thankful and more than willing to give it our all when we enter the workforce. With the financial assistance that I've received, it has given me the peace of mind that in the near future, I will have a better life and have financial freedom. Without the assistance of these wonderful programs, many other students may not be able to experience the same opportunity which I have. As a mother, financial freedom is something you desire for your children. You want them to be well enough off that they will not have to struggle. Most parents who might not be able to afford college without assistance will not be able to help their children obtain that same goal that I am working towards. So I applaud you for what has been done in the past and what is being done now to help other students like myself. I do ask, however, that you keep in mind how many other potential leaders of this great state of Minnesota, or perhaps this great country, might need your assistance. With your help, you are giving us the chance to better our lives and to work towards meaningful careers. I thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Elizabeth? I guess I do have one. Some of the previous testimony from some of the rural areas of the state as far as the online learning, and I complained about the slowness, and are you having a problem in hitting that?
Researcher, no, I have not. It's been a wonderful experience. And anytime I have a question, my teachers have been within at least 24 hours answering my questions, calling me on the phone, making sure that, you know, I'm right with the program and able to understand what I need to be doing.
And yours is a two-year program? Or?
No, it is a one-year program.
And with your grants, and you said you had to take out loans, what kind of debt are you going to have in this thing?
Currently, I have received about $2,600 in state grants and federal grants, a little under $4,000. So I'm looking at approximately $9,000 debt in loans that I have to repay.
Thank you. Question. Thank you very much for
Mr. Chair, thank you for your testimony. I just have a question about Hibbing Community College and whether or not you checked with them, and do they have any medical programs that you might be aware of?
At the time when I was looking around, they did not have the medical coding and billing program, and now they do, but however, they don't have it online, and with my children and my family schedule, online was my best option.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What is your... What's the tuition at the Duluth Business?
That I don't have, I'm sorry. I didn't bring that with me.
Thank you very much, then.
Thank you.
How's the weather up in Hibby? Okay, next we have Adam Hupschultz. And I guess, Adam, are you? Yeah, you're coming down by yourself. So wherever you are, welcome to the committee. I think I pronounced your name correctly.
Correct.
Welcome.
Thank you. You
just go ahead and start your testimony after you state your name.
My name is Adam Hupschultz. I am from the Minnesota School of Business in Rochester. I'm currently pursuing a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Management. And I'm here to let you know why I chose MSB and how the state grant program aids me in my education. I first graduated from Zimbardo Mazeppa High School in 1999, and I tried a traditional state university. However, that really wasn't for me. I wound up being there for just one semester, and I just had to move back home. After that, I wanted to go back to college, but I couldn't find one that I really wanted to attend, so I started working. And there I went from one job to the next, realizing that the jobs that I was working in didn't have the potential for a career for what I would like to do. And then that's when I found the Minnesota School of Business. I first interviewed with them during the summer of 2005, and I found out it was a great fit for someone like me. With the small class sizes, they have one-on-one instruction with the teachers, and they get personal attention from the staff and faculty. The experience that I've had at MSB has been an amazing one, all that and more. And without the state grant program, I would have not actually been able to attend the Minnesota School of Business. Since I have started there in October of 2005, I have received in excess of $8,600 in state grant aid. As of right now, I've completed about half my program, and hopefully I will be able to qualify for additional state grant as I continue to pursue my education. I have had to take out state and federal loans since they do not fully cover the cost of tuition. And without the state grant, I would have wound up paying a whole lot more back than I would without the state grant aid. Without the college education that I'm receiving at MSB, I feel I would be stuck in a job where there would be no potential for longevity or even potential for a career. Since attending MSB, my outlook on attaining a job that I would certainly enjoy has completely changed. I feel that when I do graduate, I'll be able to enter the workforce with an education and a job that I will certainly enjoy, and also I feel I will have a better quality of life because of my education. Making college affordable for those who want it is important. I feel that if someone wants to better themselves, but yet they find roadblocks or no encouragement, it makes it hard for them to achieve those goals. I want to thank you all for the state grant aid. Without it, I would not be able to afford college and get the degree and career that will make me successful in life. I thank you again for your time here today and for your continued support in these state programs.
Thank you for your testimony, too, Adam. Are there any questions of Adam? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Adam, thank you for your testimony. You said that you started in October of 2005. Are you on a quarter system or semester system, or do they have a kind of a revolving start date?
MSB runs on a quarter system, so we do four quarters: winter, summer, fall, and spring. And right now we just started our winter quarter on January 2nd.
Thank you. And just to follow up, Mr. Chair, and so as you also testified, you're nearly halfway through your program. Is it somewhat of an accelerated program then, because you also have a summer quarter that you're using, or when do you anticipate graduating with a bachelor's degree?
Right now, my transcripts, I think my guesstimated graduation date is March of 2009. I've accelerated a little bit because I've taken more credits than the actual full-time. Full-time credits at MSB is 12, and I've averaged at least 15 in credit myself. So I've tried to accelerate myself through the program as well.
Thank you. And just another question, Mr. Chair. And so, Adam, the acceleration as well, when you're taking 15 credits, does that allow you to get more in grant dollars, do you know?
I think a little bit, from my understanding of talking with the financial aid department, it does a little bit, but not a whole lot. I don't think my grant aid I've averaged is around $1,500 a quarter, and that hasn't changed or fluctuated as far as I know.
Thank you.
When you had your interview, or when you went to the business school there to find out things, were you given a very good education on
grants that might have been available to you, financial aid?
I feel that the financial department didn't inform me, as being a non-traditional student, the best programs that would be for me. I cannot remember off the top of my head exactly what I have. I do not have any financial information with me, but they've informed me about all the programs that I would be eligible for, correct?
And with your loans, what do you think, you've got any projections on what kind of debt you're going to be looking at when you graduate?
As of right now, I have around $20,000 in student loans, and I guess my debt might be doubled by the time I graduate. So I'm guesstimating around $40,000 by the time I graduate with the degree.
Okay.
In student loan debt.
Thank you very much. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Adam, does your school have placement programs for its graduates?
You mean after you graduate, will they mm-hmm. look for a job for you? Yes, mm-hmm. they do.
And do you know approximately what kind of salary or wage you might be looking at?
That I do not know. There's different emphasis on the business management degree, and it would vary depending upon the job that the college will find for me.
Thank you. Actually, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if we have any comparisons between a school like this and a school of business, but debt load that a student's going to end up with as compared to maybe if the program in the state university had been, something that you liked. I know it wasn't, but I mean, do we have any comparisons of those? Can we get those?
Clark, I would assume that we could get that information. I'm looking over at a fiscal analyst that might have it. Maybe someone from the higher education office might also, I saw someone walk in, have that information and comparison, and they'll be in front of us shortly too if you're curious to see what debt is compared to.
I'm just astounded at the $40,000 debt that you're going to start out with. I commend you for, sticking in there and especially your accelerated program. But this seems like an overwhelming burden.
And along that point too, are you anticipating then with your final 2 years that you're going to get about the same in grants? Will that continue on the way through? So you're going to double your loans and your debt, but you're also going to double your grants?
As far as I know, I'm certainly anticipating that my grant aid might not change. I mean, I cannot predict the future, but my grant aid since I first started has been consistent. And the financial department has not informed me otherwise.
Okay. Representative Norton, in your hometown.
Representative Ruth Covina. Adam, you described yourself as a non-traditional student, and I guess you're about the age of my son. And I'm wondering, I don't want to embarrass you if you don't want to share, but are you non-traditional just in the sense that you didn't go straight from high school to college, or is non-traditional defined in some other legal way as well? I just was curious.
From my understanding, a non-traditional college student is somebody who is at least 24 years old or older, who has tried college but did not do so well the first time around. So they are considered to be a little bit older than the traditional student body. Say a graduate just from high school ranges from 18 to 21.
Thank you.
And how many kids are there at your school that are non-traditional?
I think the majority of our student body winds up actually being non-traditional. I think we have, I don't know those numbers off the top of my head, but I think as of right now, I guess there may be between 100 and 150 traditional college students. The majority of us are considered non-traditional.
Other questions? Mr. Hunt.
Yes. How many bachelor's degrees are awarded by your college? Is this an unusual thing? Are most 2-year degrees?
The Minnesota School of Business in Rochester has only been open since October of 2005, and the graduating classes that we have had, the highest degree that we have given out has been associate's degrees. As it was my understanding, I think the ones up in the cities, they might give out a certain amount of bachelor's degrees, but I do not know that number.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your testimony. Good luck to you, and we hope you get a good high-paying job so you can pay that off.
Thank you.
And next we have Carly Kauf from the College of St. Catherine, who's from St. Paul originally. Welcome to the committee. Carly, and just go right ahead into your testimony after you say your name for the record.
All right. Like you said, my name is Carly Kauf, and I am in an interesting position because I am a senior at the College of St. Catherine, St. Kate's. And I am the president of the Senate there for the last 2 years. And I also, my work study job is in financial aid. And so for the last 3 years, I've worked in the financial aid office. And so in addition to seeing myself and how I interact with my own financial aid, I get to see everybody else come in and see how they interact with financial aid. At St. Kate's, we have 3 different programs that use the state grant. We have, you know, traditional day program. We have an associate degree program at our Minneapolis campus. And we have a weekend college program. And so all of our students, you know, can use this Minnesota State grant. And I get to see everyone that comes in and how much they, you know, how much they benefit from using this program. For myself, I am now 24. I'll graduate in May, finally. And I will graduate and have about $48,000 in debt. I have worked upwards of 30 hours a week since I started college, in addition to being the president of the Senate, which is probably between 20 and 25 hours, in addition to my work-study job. I work more than 40 hours a week all summer long. I pay for college completely by myself. My dad lost his job when I was 18, and so they certainly would have helped me if they could, but I paid for it myself. So after college, my intention is to go to law school if they'll take me. So when it's all said and done, I would imagine I'll probably end with more than $100,000 in debt, you know, before I'll even start paying it off. And so grant funding for me is imperative. Even, you know, outside, like I said, above my grant funding, I'm still paying $48,000 in debt. So it's like many St. Kate students, we just see so many students that wouldn't even have a chance to go to college. And the thing that's so important for me is giving access to people that wouldn't get to go otherwise. There's certainly no chance that I would have gone to St. Kate's had I not gotten funded through them. My second 2 years of college, I won a scholarship, and so I'm no longer grant funded. But I certainly would have continued to be had I not won that scholarship. But our Minneapolis campus, our associate program, has the highest percentage of women of color in the state. It has the highest percentage the lowest class of women in the state. We use the most of Minnesota child care grants in the state. You know, our St. Kate's needs this funding. And so there's really no way that we could survive without this funding. And so there's no way really for me to stress any more how important this is for us. And another thing that I've gotten to do, like I said, I'm the president of the Senate at St. Kate's, is work with the Minnesota Association of Private College Students, which is just a group of students like me that get together and talk about how their student governments work. And I think a really interesting thing to know is that the student income for private college students, on average, is actually less than students at the University of Minnesota. And so it's not as though students that go to St. Kate's or Concordia or St. Olaf are making all this money and it's just rich kids that go to private school. That's not the case. We're just the same. We need the same funding. And the Minnesota State Grant is funding everybody. And so everybody gets funded, whether you go to the University of Minnesota or St. Kate's, everyone gets equal access, and that's the reason that it's working. And so I just want to thank you for how much it's helped me and how much it's helping everyone at St. Kate's. And I look forward to seeing it improve in the future. And I just want to say thank you. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you too, Carly. And that's a very well put statement at the end there. We know that, and most of us know that, not everybody that goes to a private college is wealthy. In fact, just the opposite, like you said. Now, they kind of have an attitude, some of them, when they graduate.
That's a case, certainly.
So, my friends that I know, anyways.
You would be too, but...
Is that the pot calling the kettle black?
Well, I didn't graduate. That's the rumor around here that I heard. So, are there any questions of Carly? And you said $40,000 you're going to have in debt. Are those a mixture of federal and state loans?
Actually, they're all, it's just Perkins and Stafford. It's all Perkins and Stafford. I haven't taken any alternative loans. Like I said, I work in financial aid, so I have a little bit more knowledge of how it all works. But, yeah, I haven't had to take any, like, self loan or anything like that. I have all federal loans, which is nice because they have a low interest rate. And I really have no problem paying for my education. I have no problem with debt. It's just quite a lot of debt.
Okay, any questions at all? Well, thank you very much for your question.
Of course, thank you so much.
Appreciate you coming here. Lori Esquiera. Esquierca. Lori, welcome. Esquierca. Right?
Esquierca.
Yeah. Well, see, I've got, we have all kinds of tough names on the range. This actually looks like it could be a Finnish name, but I know it isn't, but it's probably Polish. Yeah, there you go. Welcome to the committee.
A little spark in Polish.
A little spark, there you go.
Well, thank you very much for having me and the rest of us here today. My name is Lori Esquierca, and I would like to start by saying that without state grants, I wouldn't have been able to continue my education and be receiving my bachelor's degree coming this June. A little background about myself. I grew up in a 16 by 60 foot trailer. My mom was a great mother and father. She raised me by herself, and she was kind of my driving force. She was very inspirational. She put herself through school, through tech school, as a matter of fact, and that was to give us a better life, to get herself off assistance and to so that we didn't have to get things like WIC or things like that anymore. When I was in fourth grade, I was diagnosed with a learning disability. And so that made school very hard for me. I did eventually finish my diploma and made it through school and was really proud of myself. I didn't go back to school until later. I'm currently 29. Started school again when I was 26, so also a non-traditional student. When I was done with school, I decided that I would go and get experience as opposed to going straight to school. I decided that I loved the travel industry, so the airline industry is kind of where I wanted to focus my experience. And with September 11th, all of my experience went kind of downhill. It basically made my life very unstable. Shortly after that, my father passed, and that was very confusing, mourning someone that I didn't know personally. It really changed my perspective on life, and after that, I decided that it would be very difficult for me to make a stable life for myself without continuing my education. No experience, no education, wages were a scandal. At that point, it was either go back to school or work at McDonald's for the rest of my life, and that wasn't really a great option for me. I was scared to return to school because I hadn't done well in the past, but I did, and I decided that I was going to, even if I had to work very hard, I was going to finish school, and I was going to make a better future for myself. After 2.5 years of working hard at the Art Institute International Minnesota, I'm now 5 months from graduation, like I stated earlier. I have a cumulative GPA of 3.98, even while paying for school. I'm also a tutor and a teaching assistant on our Work Study program. In addition, I run several student-led workshops for our school. I'm also an active member of our community. For the last 2 years, I've worked and volunteered in a homeless shelter downtown Minneapolis called People Serving People. In this position, I work with families of every walk of life, a lot of whom are in their situations from a lack of education. At the Art Institute International, I also am a member of the National Technical Honor Society, where I fulfill 150 hours of community service, as well as outside projects of the school. I also serve on the Student Advisory Council, and I am a member of the American Society of Interior Designers. When I graduate, I will have received $16,000 in state grants. I took out as much money as I could in loans when I decided to go to school, and even with borrowing as much as I possibly could, it it had gotten to the point where I wasn't going to be able to finish. Halfway through school, it kind of devastated me that all my time and all my effort was going to be lost. The school worked with me. Art Institute decided that they were going to let me make payments, and I did that for approximately 9 months. I made payments to the school. And I can't say enough about that, that's very important to me, that they allowed me to do that, that they had the faith in me that I was going to finish and do well. The school also has small class sizes, which is very important to me. Having a learning disability and being a number of 300 students at the U, for instance, wasn't an option for me. I didn't have that ability. So that was the personal attention from the instructors was very important. It was also, the school also has the most up-to-date technology for our field. That being said, that I know that I'll graduate in the top of my game when I'm done with school. I've learned a great deal of things to make me a better person throughout my education, whether it be from school or in my community. I'm not the same person that I was before. I've learned that whatever I put my mind to, I can definitely accomplish. I'm not alone. There are a lot of students like me who can do it. They just need the help and the funding to do that. If I hadn't had my continuing education at the Art Institute of International Minnesota, I would still be at an entry-level position, making barely enough to scrape by. And with this education, I know I will end up in a market that I can foresee myself being supported throughout my life to support my family and myself. Thank you.
Well, Laurie, I just want you to know that I'm proud of what you've done, and you know, you certainly don't seem to have any learning disability. Your presentation was very, very well done. You said that when they made you, like you make monthly payments, how were you able to finagle your financing in it, that helped? I mean, were you working and...
I upped my hours at work. I work with children at People Serving People. I work with their children's program. In fact, I'm going on a field trip tonight with the preschoolers.
So that's a paid position.
It is a paid position. I also do volunteer work there. Mm-hmm. So it is a multifaceted environment.
And what kind of degree are you going to end up with then?
Bachelor's of Science.
So my son went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design, and he, like Carly, he was a traditional student that graduated at 23 or 24. And he's in Central America right now. I wish he'd come home, but he's doing some film work. He even got close to the stage and watched. Of course, I shouldn't say this in front of the Republicans, but I'm kind of proud of this. But he was at the inauguration of Daniel Ortega, who he said looked somewhat like me. But he was able to get himself up on the stage and film, because he wanted to do a documentary while he was down there, and film Hugo Chavez and Evo Morales and Daniel Ortega. So I thought, hey, wow. So good luck to you, and I hope that you're able to work in the art world with your degree. Appreciate it. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Poppy, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Lori, for your testimony. In addition to your Bachelor of Science, what exactly is your major, and what do you hope to pursue with that degree? What kind of job are you looking for?
My degree will be in interior design as a major, and I'm hoping after my completion that I will take some time, work in the field, and then go back to school at hopefully the University of Minnesota for my master's degree so that I can teach.
Representative Mo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a follow-up to Representative Poppy's question. You said you had considerable debt, and I can't remember the figure, but working as an interior designer, could you tell us, you know, what approximate wage you could expect, and if there's a chance that you could make those student loan payments? With
My approximate earnings entry level will be approximately $50,000 a year at minimum.
I think you've done a little interior designing around here last couple of years, you know, so fix some things up, right?
Great. And also just a comment, I appreciate your story. That's similar to my own. I went to private school, grew up in a single-parent household. My mom's a bartender, and had it not been for the state grant program, I wouldn't have been able to go to college. So Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
Now, Representative McFarland.
Yes, Chair Rubina. Lori, I know I added up your notes on the amount of money, and it came to about $69,000. What percentage of that is tuition, and what is books and living expenses?
Well, my my $16,000 in state grants, that's not at all including books. That's straight tuition. My tuition will be approximately $66,000 when I'm all done with my four-year degree.
And your living expenses are on top of that?
Yes.
And so you're obviously paying for some of that as you go with your jobs that you're working.
Yeah, I've so far paid approximately $2,000, which doesn't seem like a lot, but $100. $100 a week can definitely make or break a person in my situation. But I will have approximately $41,000 in loans and $7,400 in state, in federal grants, in addition to my $16,000 in state, and then all other scholarships, student success scholarships, and so forth.
It was a very nice breakdown of her of your finances up there. Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, any other questions then, Representative Clark?
Well, first of all, a question just to say you're an inspiration and thank you for coming and telling us about it. All the more so because if you're going to have a $66,000 debt, is that right?
$41,000. After grants.
Mm-hmm. I see, after you subtract.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I know that you piqued Representative Clark's curiosity when you said you were working at the homeless shelter in downtown Minneapolis, but that's something that's near and dear to her heart. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And let's see. Finally, then, we have Scott Wendt. Scott, welcome to the committee. Come on down. Tell us about yourself.
I'm going to graduate March 9th, so I'm 32 classes.
Scott, can you just identify yourself?
Oh, I'm Scott Wendt. I'm going to graduate in 32 days, March 9th, so I guess I'm kind of here more representing the students that are coming after me. Dunwoody has got a great reputation. We've got great placement, 97%. We've got very good instructors, very dedicated. I'm really glad that I picked it. One of the reasons I picked it is because most days I could ride my bicycle from my house to school. At the time, it was like, oh, I want to go to this program in Anoka. I'm an electrical construction student. Well, it's a 45-minute drive. Dunwoody's right there downtown, and it's 12 minutes from my house. And I could ride my bike. And that's what really got me to look into it and start into it. Again, it's a big cost savings to be able to ride your bicycle on a trail to school every day. One of the things that I ran into while I was in school is the program I was on changed. They started to subtract the state and the federal money from the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation program. And so, thankfully, I'd done well enough that I got grants and scholarships from other programs, either academically or need-based. Otherwise, other students had left, left the program, and I was able to finish. And so that's one of the things I'm kind of addressing today. And what would we? Why did the program change? So, can anybody tell me about that? No.
Just trying how to answer. I just want to make sure.
Do you?
No, I want to know. I want to know a little bit better how to ask the question. Department of Vocational Rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
that you were getting some funding through,
right,
was no longer able to fund.
They changed the program, Representative Clark. What they did is they said, now we're going to take your federal grant and your state grant, and we're going to subtract it from what you should have gotten on your program. And so, in the end, it really made it small. I basically started school with, going, okay, everything's going to be paid as long as I can put a roof over my head, hold myself, feed myself, wonderful. I can make this work. And then halfway into it, that program was changed by the legislature. I don't know dates or anything, but...
Well, Scott, that's what I was leaning over to ask our fiscal analyst, and now this committee also has the Department of Employment and Economic Development budget in it. It's been changed here with this, with the elections and everything, and this committee has some other jurisdictions that it never had in the Higher Education Committee, which is probably indicative of how, you know, what a good mixture that really is, because you were taking advantage of the vocational training program.
Absolutely.
You must have been, you were getting that through the Department of Employment and Economic Development.
Yep.
And because of budget cuts and, you know, no new tax promise pledges and everything else, costs got things got cut and costs got shifted.
Here's the thing that was the biggest thing that disheartened me. If I'd go to U of M, if I'd switch and I would went to U of M or any state school, they wouldn't hold it against me. I would then be allowed to have full funding just like I always had, basically for any tuition. And that continues to this day. Dunwoody has a four-year program now, a Bachelor of Science program, that I could continue on with. And if I continue at Dunwoody, the funding stands the way it is.
So what?
And if I go to U of M, I can be fully funded on that program.
So what you're saying is someone at the Department of Employment and Economic Development made a decision that a vocational degree was different.
No, private school.
Private school. Okay.
Yep. That's the problem.
That's interesting. We'll have them here in front of the committee shortly. In fact, tomorrow we get into testimony of folks like you that use these programs to the front of us. So you're giving us a good lead into the testimony we're going to start hearing here tomorrow. So thank you for that. And then why don't you just continue? I'm sorry we all interrupted you, but that was interesting to us.
I am thankful for the state grants. They definitely did help me. So the federal grants. I'm going to graduate with a high grade point average. I was fortunate enough, like somebody else here, I've been a teaching assistant the whole time I've been there and tutored first quarter students. My experience has been awesome. My job placement outlook is very good, and the amount of money I'm going to make looks very, very good. So I'm pretty excited. However, there still is the problem I brought up. And that's the big reason I'm here. Because as I said, I've really taken an interest in helping, especially the first quarter students. And, you know, they get on this program, and then all of a sudden it's changed, and, you know, it's not good. So hopefully tomorrow you guys can work on that.
We'll try to start, but we're not. The bureaucrats, the people like you, are coming in tomorrow.
Okay.
Then we'll build up the crescendo, you know, of anger and why we have to do this to you. Then when we get the bureaucrats in front of us, we'll be prepared.
Anger, whining, whatever it takes.
But Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Scott. Did you say that your major then is electrician? And,
yes, electrician.
Okay. And where do you plan to work once you get that diploma or degree?
I've got three really good options. So I may be based out of Eden Prairie. I may be based out of downtown Minneapolis. I may be based out of Burnsville.
All right. Thank you.
See, I've got a... What happened with your debt then because of that change by the department?
I was really fortunate. I've always been a person who will help anyone or whatever, drop whatever I can do. And the school was able to, and my grade point's good, was able to come up and fund some of it through their grants and endowments that they solicit from alumni. And I do have $6,000 in debt, which I'm thinking now is nothing compared to what I've been hearing. But I basically walked into a deal that was, you know, it should have been fully funded. All I had to worry about was, you know, working every day to feed myself and drive a car and fix my bicycle, you know, whatever.
So the school basically picked up what the state cut then?
They did for me,
what you're saying, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Representative Martin.
Representative Poppy asked my question.
And then I... Isn't Dunwoody... IBW, don't they do their training there too, their apprentice programs? Or?
They built their own school. You continue to go to school once you're done. You go for another 4 years, and they built their own school in St. Michael. So they don't. The plumbers still do, but the electricians do not.
So there's a plumber's apprentice program at Dunwoody then?
Still there, yeah.
But the electrical program isn't?
No, they built their own big, fancy facility.
Representative Clark.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, but won't you be doing an apprenticeship?
Mm-hmm.
For how many years?
Usually for four.
For 4 years?
Sometimes Dunwoody students test out a bit faster. Depends.
So, and that income is somewhat less than when you're full-fledged master electrician.
Right, still, the average is still $32,000 plus benefits.
$32,000 a year plus benefits is the average.
And another 46% in benefits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty lucrative.
Thank you.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the IBEW did have Dunwoody as one of the schools, would you be helping to fulfill your apprenticeship obligations while you were in school?
We actually, the union, that's a national thing now. It would just be for the United States. If you complete a degree at Dunwoody, you are given 2,000 hours credit towards your journeyman's license.
So it automatically happens either way.
As long, yeah.
In your schooling that you got cut off by Dean, did you quit school for any reason or anything like that?
I'm sorry.
I remember an instance where a person didn't get what he was promised.
I would have quit. I threatened to. As
but you never did.
Our financial aid director could tell you. I just said, you know what, I really take my job with the first quarter students seriously. My job, I think, is retention. And if they work hard, I'll carry them on my own back to get them through, you know, whatever it takes. I spent a lot of time with it. I said, I do get paid, you know, it's a federal work study job. But I said, you know, I've always helped everybody. And I said, no, I need some help. And they came through. I really thought I was going to quit for a while. I really
but
did.
You never did quit.
I didn't have to because I was fortunate. But there are other people in the same program as me that did drop out. So... and we haven't seen him since. It is.
Representative McFarland?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, what is the tuition for your program at Dunwoody?
Well, I asked about that. When I started, it was $28,000. I know that every quarter it's went up. And that's for your total 2 years. Yeah. So I think we're a little higher than that now.
Yeah. And, you know, Scott, I know that, you know, there's a number of electrical construction programs at Minsky, too, around the state, and there's the plumbing programs, and the, you know, there are different masonry, I believe, I know we have up in Eblis, and, you know, I'm wondering why we can't get maybe a little more collaboration between the apprentice programs, unions, maybe have some type of where you get done and you go and work some construction and work with, you know, through the local there or whatever, regardless of whether it's electrical or plumbing or whatever. But I guess we'll have to talk to Minsky and the unions about that when they come around.
I think they do a pretty good job of that. I mean, they take 60-70% of the graduates anyway every quarter as apprentices, so.
The IBEW does?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they take them anyway.
And they got 40, what do they got, 4,000 or 5,000 members just in the Minneapolis local, I think, and a lot of them on the bench right
Minneapolis
now.
Minneapolis is 3,000.
3,000?
Yep, and there's 300 on the bench, 22 apprentices.
See, you know, they've been doing your homework, haven't
yeah,
you?
That's nothing, though, compared to normal. And that's nothing.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe it's just I'm trying to understand your question. So, because it doesn't matter if it's a Minsky school or Dunwoody, if you graduate and get your electrician, you still would have to do some night classes in order to move on up the journeyman ladder, right?
Can I ask what a Minsky school?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Minnesota.
State school.
The State College University system.
Right.
But, Representative Pop, you have to get so many hours and you have to work as an apprentice.
And you can either get that through the education or through the
you could do it through the union or you can do it through one of these Minsky schools or Dunwoody. And
specifically I could answer that question.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Specifically there's two routes. Mm-hmm. One route today is that if you did well in high school and you're able bodied and you're 19 years old, they may try you out. They built their own school. This is the electrical now. Plumbing and the other ones happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the other route is that you go to a two-year program. They give you 2,000 hours credit mm-hmm. for that two-year program. and you will still go to school one day a week for the next 4 years unless you can test out. Now, really good students and really good test takers can test out of that time. You're still required to put the hours in, but you can test out of that required class time and testing. That
thank you.
Cleared up?
And, well, there's another part to it, and I'm sure we're going to hear about that from the Department of Labor and Industry and part of it.
Uh-oh.
Representative Mahoney, who is a...
I'm a state representative that has been involved a little bit in an apprenticeship and...
Still on an apprenticeship here, too, I might
okay,
add.
Good.
Where's
my rating sheet? I need a rating sheet for me.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to get to. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can go through a 1 year of day school and get hours credit towards your total number of hours prior to taking the test as a journeyman, plumber, pipe fitter, electrician, any licensed crap. After your day school, after your first year of going to day school or second year of going to day school, you have to go to work under the jurisdiction of not just a journeyman. You have to be working underneath a journeyman who's working underneath a master's license, and then you at certain times of the year have to submit total hours worked under, whether it's in the electricians, and I don't know for a fact, but I suspect it's type of wiring, type of construction, a variety of different venues, the same for any particular licensed craft. After you've fulfilled your 10,000 hours with a well-rounded variety of work experiences, you go take that test. And again, depending on if you pass the test, you get your license, and then at that point, you are a craftsman or a craftswoman, and you get to do whatever you choose. And if you're in a union or not in a union, you can go pull a permit and start building buildings.
And Representative Mahoney, I'm sure, would urge you to check into the union.
Mm-hmm. All my options are union.
Okay, any other questions? Then, Scott, appreciate it. And were you a non-traditional student?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I can't tell. My eyes aren't that good. Everybody looks young to me, except Gunther and Eastland over here and me. So, and Haas. I forgot about her.
We make an average.
So I just want to ask, there was one other person that we had scheduled that couldn't make it, but maybe is there Jim Skook from the Constantine class in the audience? He happened to make it at all? Okay, members, with that then, we'll probably adjourn unless there are any questions. Yes, excuse me. Representative Mahoney.
I've read all the minutes, and I think they are absolutely perfect.
That's
to the left.
Good. Move the minutes.
I'd like to move the minutes of whatever day it was.
Yes, the fourth meeting of the Higher Education Workforce Development Committee. All those in favor? Any additions or corrections? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Meeting is adjourned. We'll see you tomorrow with Mr. Hutchinson up first.